If you please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8, verses 41 and 42. Luke chapter 8, verses 41 and 42. And these words, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying." And our subject this morning is a ruler's daughter raised. Well, this morning we will consider a glorious healing miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is more than just a healing. The Lord will bring somebody back from the dead. A young girl who has died will be brought back to life. And well, of course, the Lord, he had power to do this, to bring people back from the dead. And this, of course, is why the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world, and we'll speak about this a little later. The great purpose why the Lord has come into this world, well, it is that he may defeat death and conquer death. This is something that only God can do. Only the Lord can defeat death. No man, of course, can defeat death. No man, however great he is, the greatest men in this world, be he a king or a prince, well, he can conquer nations, he can conquer armies, but he cannot conquer death. This is something that only the Lord can do. No physician, no doctor. If a doctor could conquer death, well, he would be the richest man on earth, no doubt, of course. But no doctor, no physician, no surgeon can conquer death. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ, God made manifest in the flesh, the incarnate God. He is the only one who can conquer death. And this, by the way, this is how the Lord Jesus Christ gives us true life. The only way we can have true life is when death has been conquered. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said of himself: "I am come that they might have life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can only have life in its fullest sense. You can only have abundant life, true life, once death has been overcome. You can't possibly have true life if death is still hanging over you. People nowadays, the unbeliever, he believes that he's living life to the fullest. He's not, because death is still hanging over him. It's still there. He can't get rid of it. He can't cancel that appointment. And yet the world will say, "Oh, we're the ones living life to the fullest." They're not. You cannot have true life, eternal life, life in its fullest sense, unless death has been overcome. And it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has overcome death. So this is, well, one of the many reasons why we need the gospel. But this glorious miracle, well, it will involve the daughter of a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. Now, the synagogue, most likely in Capernaum, the one mentioned here, well, many of you know that this is where the Jews met and still do meet for religious services, for worship and so on. And the ruler of the synagogue, well, he was an important part of the life of the synagogue. Sometimes there would be several rulers of the synagogues, and it was their job to maintain order and to organize services and to maintain the building and so on. And so Jairus, as ruler of the synagogue, he would have been very much aware of Jesus, of this Jesus of Nazareth. He would have been aware of his preaching ministry, speaking about repentance and faith and how the kingdom of God is at hand. He would, of course, have been aware of the many miracles, the healing miracles. So many people who had gone to the Lord Jesus Christ with illnesses, well, indeed all of them who had sought help from the Lord had been healed from all manner of sicknesses and diseases. So Jairus would have been well aware of this Jesus of Nazareth. And so he comes on this day in verse 41. He comes to the Lord Jesus, and look at the nature in which he comes. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. He doesn't just come with a normal approach. He falls down at Jesus' feet and beseeches him, implores him, begs him even, you could say, come into my house. Why? Why does he approach the Lord Jesus Christ in this way? Well, we read why in verse 42. The reason is given, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. This is what has compelled Jairus to come to Christ in such a manner. His daughter, his only daughter, who he loves so dearly, is now lying on her deathbed. This is a great trial for Jairus. This is a great crisis. Of course it is. This is what brings Jairus to his knees before the Lord Jesus. A great trial has come into his life. His only daughter, about 12 years of age, she lay a dying. And you know, this is often the way that the Lord brings people to himself. So often people say to you, well, if there is a God, why does he allow bad things to come into the world, into my life? Why, if there's a God, do I have to suffer this problem and that problem, or this illness or this calamity? Why, if there's a God? Well, don't you ever think that God, through these things, is calling you to himself? He's calling you to himself. If everything went very well in your life, if there were absolutely no problems whatsoever, you wouldn't want God. Why do you need God? Everything's perfectly well in my life. Everything's going swimmingly. I don't want God. I don't want your talk of the Bible. I don't want the gospel. So very often the Lord will bring a problem, a great catastrophe into your life. Something that nobody else can help you with. So that you are compelled to cry out to God, Lord, help me. There's a great problem has come into my life. Nobody else can seem to help me. Lord, I need to look up to heaven. I need you. That is so often the way that the Lord brings us to himself. It's the only way he can get our attention. You would never take notice of him otherwise. He will bring a problem, and then you find yourself being brought to your knees before the Lord. That's very often the way the Lord does it. He brings a great calamity into your life because he wants you to seek him and to draw nearer to him. And this is the only way he can do it. So this is the case with Jairus. Jairus would never have come in this way if his daughter wasn't on her deathbed. Do you think Jairus would have come falling down before the Lord? Of course not. But the Lord, well, he is calling him to himself. And this is the reason why Jairus comes. But also let's just note the daughter. He had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Well, how tragic is this? She's on her deathbed. She's only 12. She's only 12 years old, and she's on her deathbed. How tragic is this? But what this teaches us, of course, is with death, well, there are no rules. There are no rules with death. You know, sometimes, and this is the case at East Dulwich, we have a lot of youngsters in our congregation, and when I preach about death, you can see their eyes start to glaze over. They think to themselves, oh, this preacher is going to start speaking about death. That doesn't apply to me. I'm a young person. I've got my whole life ahead of me. He can talk about death. That's just for old people. For me, well, it's as if there's a rule that's written. If you're under a certain age, you can't possibly die. They think that's the rule. But with death, there's no rules. There's no rules with death. Death doesn't care how old you are. Death doesn't care whether you've still got your whole life in front of you. Death doesn't care how well you're doing at school. When death comes calling, it will come calling. She's 12 years old. She's on her deathbed. There are no rules with death. But even, well, it's not just youngsters, even adults get complacent. People think, even older people, well, if I just keep in good health, if I work out, if I do good exercise, well, then I'm all right. Death can't possibly touch me. That's the rule, they think. If I'm perfectly well physically, I can't die. Difference, there are no rules. I remember not so long ago reading or hearing about, well, it was quite big news, about a professional footballer, and he was playing in an international match, I think for Cameroon, and well, he was an athlete, of course. These footballers, they have to be at peak physical health. And what happened? In the 78th minute of the game, he fell down and he died in the centre circle, in the middle of the game, with thousands of people watching. And everybody, well, they were saying, how could this happen? How could this happen to somebody who's an athlete, who's perfectly fit? Well, how can it happen? Because there are no rules in death. There's no rules. So this is why the gospel message is so urgent. Because we never know how long we have left. And we have to make sure that we are right with God before we die. Because there are no rules with death. This young girl, 12 years old, she's on her deathbed. There are no rules. And so we have to think about our own standing with God. And we have to think whether we're right with Him. But let's return to this narrative. Well, actually, between right in the middle of this account of Jairus' daughter, and you would have noticed this in the scripture reading, there's an account of another miracle, a woman having an issue of blood in verse 43. And, well, we haven't got time to go through all of her healing, but many of you will know that she's healed of this issue of blood, a hemorrhage of blood. She comes behind the Lord Jesus Christ, she touches the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood is stopped. She is healed. Now there are actually connections and parallels between this woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter. I'm sure you know this very well. For example, we know that the woman having the issue of blood in verse 43, she's had it for 12 years. And we know that Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. We've spoken about that. I'm sure that's no coincidence that this woman has had an issue of blood. She suffered this affliction for as long as Jairus' daughter has lived. But there are other connections as well, particularly in verse 48, if we look down. Note what the Lord Jesus Christ says to this woman with the issue of blood after she has been healed. Verse 48, he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Notice what he calls her. He calls her his daughter. Right in the middle of this account of Jairus' daughter being healed, the Lord Jesus looks upon this woman with the issue of blood, and he calls her daughter. This is the only time he uses this term, daughter. And well, this is something that we ought to note. What this is saying really is that the Lord Jesus Christ cares for this woman with the issue of blood, just as much as Jairus cares for his daughter. The Lord Jesus Christ, this woman is not a stranger to him. This woman is his daughter. Just as Jairus loves his daughter, just as the daughter of Jairus is the apple of his eye, his only daughter, well, the Lord Jesus Christ has that same love and intensity of love. The Lord Jesus, well, let's just think about this just for a few moments. If you are a Christian here today, Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you as though you were his only child? As though you were his only one. You know, in large families, sometimes, doesn't happen all the time, but in large families, the children, well, they desperately crave the attention of their parents, and they sometimes wish that they were the only child. I wish I didn't have all my brothers and sisters. I wish I was the only child. I would get all the attention. Well, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God, you do get all the attention. God loves you as though you were the only one to be loved. You get all the riches of his grace. You get all the blessings. You get all the answers to your prayers. This is how the Lord deals with each and every one of his children. Daughter, this is what this is communicating to us. Jairus loved his only daughter. She was his only daughter. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves this woman in exactly the same way. And what a comfort this is to us. But let's continue, because we could spend a long time on the healing of the woman. But I want to return to Jairus' daughter, because in verse 49, well, look at the news that arrives. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Well, this is terrible news. This is the news that Jairus would have feared more than anything else. Your daughter is dead, gone. Trouble not the master. But look at the Lord's words in verse 50. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, fear not." Oh, dear friends, this is the glory of the gospel. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no need to fear. I'm sure I've mentioned it before when I visited in previous times, but it has been said of the scriptures that the most often repeated phrase in the Bible is "fear not," "do not be afraid," "worry not," because this is what happens when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing for you to fear. In this world almost encourages fear. You have to fear everything. Fear the politicians, fear economic collapse, fear Brexit, everything we have to be fearful of. But with the word of God, it's the opposite. Fear not. There's nothing for you to fear. Not even death. Jairus has been told his daughter has died. Fear not. Even if the worst were to happen, fear not. This is the comfort of the gospel. We do not fear death. Now, I know in the world that there are some people, unbelievers, they say they're not afraid of death, but that's because they've minimized death. What do the scriptures teach about death? Well, the scriptures say that we die and then there is the judgment. We die and then there is the judgment. We don't just die and then there's nothing, as the unbeliever likes to think. That's very comforting for him. We die and then there's nothing. No, we die and then there's a judgment. Unbelievers don't like being told there's a judgment. Why don't they like being told that we die and then there's a judgment? Well, because they know that they've sinned. If I have to stand before a holy God and give an account of my life, well, then I will fail. I like to believe we just die and that's it. Don't tell me there's death and a judgment, because then I really have to be scared. I have to stand before a holy God and give an account of my life. That's what the scriptures teach us. But the gospel, well, a Christian is not afraid even of the judgment. We don't have anything to fear at all. Christian does not fear the judgment, not because he's a good person and done everything right, not because he's a finer moral fiber. But look at these words. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Those words, "she shall be made whole," they could equally be translated, "she shall be saved." But believe only. That's all a Christian does. A Christian is not saved because of his works, because he's been so wonderfully good. A Christian is not saved because he's passed some sort of exam or ritual, or because he's paid anything. Believe only. That's all you do. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are saved. You believe that the Lord has conquered death and hell for you. He has died in your place. On the cross, when he was dying on the cross, it was in your place. He was taking the punishment for your sin. He was taking the wrath of God. He was saying to the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them. I will take their punishment so that they may be forgiven all their sin. So that they do not have to fear the judgment. They do not have to fear hell. I will take their judgment upon myself. That is what we believe as Christian people. Believe only. It's not complicated, Christianity. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. This is the message of the Scriptures. So simple. Why would you not embrace it? But let's look at the rest of this glorious miracle, because time is running on. Verse 51, well, the Lord, he gets to the house of Jairus. He suffers no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And verse 52, well, all in the house, they're weeping. All wept and bewailed her. And, well, it has been said that when there was a bereavement in the household in these ancient times, they would quite often employ professional mourners to come in and weep. And that seems to be the case here. All wept and bewailed her. That's their job. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they, verse 53, they laugh at him. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But verse 54, he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And then something glorious happens. Her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. The Lord Jesus Christ raises this 12-year-old girl from the dead. The Lord alone has power to raise the dead. You know, in these words, we have a glimpse of when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. I trust we all believe and know and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back one day upon the clouds of heaven. And when he comes, well, he will call to his people. Even all those Christians who have lived and died and are in the grave, he will call out to them, just as he calls to this young girl. And they will rise from the dead. Their spirits will return to them. They will have resurrection bodies, and their spirits, their souls will return. And they will forever dwell with the Lord. In these words, we have a glimpse of what will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. This is the glorious portion of every believer. Do you believe in these things? We have to examine ourselves. Do we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that is written in the Scriptures concerning him? Christ has died and risen again for our justification, and he will return and gather his own to himself. We must believe these things, dear friends, each and every one of us, however old we are. Do we believe them? Or are we, and this is just to close, are we like those group of mourners who laugh at the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we like them? You know, this is the great tragedy of man, the great tragedy of the human race. People are always moaning, particularly, I'm sure you know this, particularly in London, people are always moaning, complaining, wailing, grieving. Why is the world like this? We mentioned this at the start. Why is the world like this? Why are there so many problems in the world? Why are there so many problems in my life? They just repeat it every day, wailing, weeping, moaning. And then when you try and show them the gospel, well, this is the way. This is the way to resolve all your problems. This is the way to peace and happiness and true joy. You show them the way out. And what do? Well, they laugh at you. They're just like these mourners. They laugh at you. They scorn. No, that's not the way. The gospel? That's the answer to all the problems in my life? Oh, they just laugh at you. They're just like these mourners. Christ came to work a glorious miracle in their midst, to save, to bring joy into this place of mourning. And what do? All they can do is just laugh. That's just like the world. Christ has come, the gospel has come to save us. What does the world do? Oh, we just laugh at it. Well, if you're like that, you'll never see the miracle. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, when they laughed at him, he put them all out. They never saw the miracle. They never saw Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. And well, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't see any miracle in your life. You'll constantly be moaning about the world, about your friends, about the workplace. Why are people like this? Why are people like that? You'll always be moaning forever and ever and ever. Because you've rejected the gospel. That which the Lord has put into this world to give us true peace. You've laughed at it. You've thought nothing of it. Dear friends, you must embrace it. Embrace the Lord. Embrace his salvation. Come to him. Worship him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be everything that you need. Fear not. Whatever it is that you have to leave behind to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, fear not. Leave it all behind. There is everything to gain through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel message. May the Lord bless these things to our hearts. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee for thy word, how we thank thee for the gospel message that has come into this world to bring us truth and peace and happiness and eternal joy. Oh dear Lord, may we not reject it. May we draw nigh to Christ. Lord, we do not know any one of us how much time we have left on this earth. May we come now, may we come urgently. May we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious miracle of salvation. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.